In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And I think you'll see that a lot and hear that a lot on radio and TV, the fables that are told, because there's no biblical proof behind what they're saying. And anything that doesn't have proof is obviously a fable. We call them it could be like a theory or anything. They can say whatever they want, but the truth unto fables is what the God of this world wants, Satan. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. This turns out to be the equivalent of Ephesians and Colossians. The pastor was written at the same time, and Paul said he fulfilled the word of God in his ministry. He said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Now, a lot of people don't understand the faith, obviously, but he kept it. And he didn't say, I kept my faith. You notice that didn't say that. It said, the faith. Okay? Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And I want to talk about appearing here. His appearing, we have to make a decision on that, especially as a pastor. Which appearing do I love? I run into this all the time. It's so hard to let go of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most people just can't hardly do it. I have people come to Bible class, and every time I turn around, their statement is something out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John after I just showed them what Paul had revealed to him. And the question is, well, Brother Jerry, I thought you said I didn't have to be baptized. And I was teaching them what Israel did, and it's like they just can't hear it. It's like you say something to somebody, and they take it wrong, and they say you say. I didn't say that. I said what it said and read it. But you've been trained all your life a certain way. It's hard to give it up. If you like plastic, if you make plastic and make a bend in it, once that bend is made, it's hard to train it to do anything else. That's the way it is. And the same thing with a religious form. You come out of religion, great. But don't try to put the religion back into the truth. Because why would you need to come out of religion if it was the truth itself? Alright? Well, this appearing. Turn to John chapter 20. I want to compare some appearings. And we have to make our decision which one is the right appearing. In John chapter 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and he gives you, when you read these things, you get all kinds of reference notes that you understand when it is, what it is, and on. The first day of the week would be Sunday. Not Saturday, not Monday. Sunday. Yet we think of Sunday as the last day of the week, Monday being the first day of the week. Okay? He said at evening, the same day at evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And of course, that falls into John 13:20. You can reference that. Verily, verily, I send you, whosoever I send, you receive him, you receive me. And if you receive me, you receive him that sent me. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now that ain't the cross. What does the cross represent? Tell me what he just gave them the power to do. Forgive or hold it back. That ain't the cross. How can I hold your sins against you? And it is being done. If you don't quit doing that, God's going to get you. Right? Now that's saying to you, because you're not doing this, I'm going to pray to God, you're going to get it. Did Peter and the apostles have the ability and the will of God to retain sins? Do they have the ability to remit them? Yes or no? Okay. In doing so, when he appeared to them, what did he give them the power to do? Hold death on people. Hey, yes, no, I don't even know where you're at. Now, you ain't got a whole lot of leeway today because there's very few of you, so you can't hide behind each other. Now, understand this. When he appeared to them at his appearing, they have the right to hold sins against people or forget them. Remit them, right? Okay. Now, look with me in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Then the Lord appeared to him again. So see, we're getting in trouble here. We've got to decide about appearings. Okay? Because he said, through the love his appearing, there's a reward there. There's a crown laid up. All right, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15. Now, when Jesus appeared here in John, what could they literally do? That, but what, when he appears to them, what could they literally do with him? They put their finger in the hole. Then what kind of body does he have still? He has a physical, spiritual body. It is no longer a body with blood, yet it is a body that is spiritual, yet it's physical. Exactly like you're going to get one day. Philippians, very clear on this. Alright? Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, he said, and that he was seen as Cephas, and Paul is the only one that calls him Cephas. Jesus said, thou shalt be called Cephas, and Paul's the one that called him that. Then of the 12, after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth in this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James and all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me as one born out of due time. Then did those people see the Lord? Then he appeared to them, didn't he? Okay. In verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15:35, he said, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Legitimate question, right? Haven't you ever asked that? Say, what will we look like? What will we be like? Okay? Verse 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Corn that grows is not that corn. It came from that corn. The seed that you put in the ground got to die, folks. It dies. Something springs out of it. Okay? You don't get the same seed on the same ear of corn. That's dead. It comes up out of it. Something grows out of it, a plant, and then that plant produces the other seeds. Okay? Well, that's what he said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Peanuts have to die in the ground to grow the plant. Corn has to die in the ground to grow the plant. Peas, everything has to die to grow the plant. All right, 37. That which thou sowest not the body that it shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as he hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, and I don't think PETA understands this. They're acting like animals are the same as we are. Now watch. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another birds. Did God say that? Okay? Then the same respect should not be given to animals as it is to you. Okay? Verse 40. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. You don't look at the moon and say, boy, that sun looks good. I mean, we got enough intelligence to know that the sun is not the moon and the moon is not the sun. You can look at the moon all night long and never go blind. Look at the sun for a while and see what happens. All right? Does the moon have a different meaning and a different job than the sun? Yes, it does. We could live without the moon and do certain times of the month. We're trying to live without the sun lately. And that's what it does to you, depression. The sun and blue sky does something to people. It makes them happier. Okay? But we need it for growth. We need it for all kinds. The moon affects weather. The sun affects weather. And on and on. Alright. He says in verse 41, the end of it, another glory of the stars, and one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. What did the Lord not do? Remember about his body? He did not see corruption. It's a miracle. Jesus was only dead for 3 days. 4 days you corrupt. Just like 8 days a man circumcises his man child. Why? God knows. God knew why 3 days. The fourth day is corruption. Okay? Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. What? The third day. Why? He would not see corruption. He would come up in the same body. But his body would not have the blood. He shed the blood. His body was a quickening spirit. All right, now watch. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, but after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from what? Heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is heavenly, such are they also that are. Well then, turn with me to Philippians, chapter 3. And get 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Paul speaks of a mystery in 1 Corinthians 15. We didn't read it there. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." You have to be changed. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ." And there's some things that you can connect with that. That would be Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Because what does God not hear the prayer of? Sinners. God does not consider us sinners. The Spirit's in us, and He makes intercession for us. So our conversation is in heaven. It said there's one that prayed, and he beateth the air. He prayed thus with himself, as in Luke 16, or Matthew 19, I apologize. He prayed thus with himself, and I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men are, and I don't want to give you a wrong reference on that. That was in Matthew. Wherever the man prayed that, can't see it for some reason. He prayed thus with himself, "I thank men that I'm not like other men are." Anyway, he said, "One beateth the air." You know anybody that beats the air? You ever got around some people that just, and all the time it's me, brag. All right. Where's our conversation? What if you didn't have a conversation with God? Now, somebody said, "Well, God never spoke to me." Then you ain't never read, and you don't have the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God gives you a conversation. You ask a question. If you'll read, He'll show it to you. He'll talk to you through the Word of God. Now, verse 21. Who shall change what? What kind of body do you have? When did it get better? Then why has it got to change your body? Because it's vile. I mean, I've heard people say, "Once I got saved, I quit sinning, I'm a nice guy." Well, you're a liar. You have a what kind of body? Okay? "That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." So, your body has to change. And that change, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." All right, a person that's asleep has lost something. What have they lost? What you put in the ground in this cemetery? Their what? Their body. I never buried a soul yet. I never even seen a soul. I've seen the outward body of a soul. Okay. So, when I buried the person, what was I burying? What kind of body? Isn't it amazing how good they look in the casket? And how everybody talks so good about them? You know what? If everybody was to really tell what that dude did or that woman did, wouldn't it be an interesting funeral? I mean, really brought it up. Everything they did. Well, we don't have them kind, thank goodness. All right. Then, what have the people that are asleep lost? Their body. Their body. If it's over 3 days, what is it? Corrupt. Okay. He said, "Concerning them which are asleep, that you saw are not even as others which have no hope." Now, are there some asleep without hope? Okay? Hold that just a second and watch. Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, 1, I apologize. The mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is based on the fact that Who was in Christ? God was in Christ. Okay? Then, if God was in Christ, imagine the terror it would be if you crucified Him. Now, the people that crucified Christ, if God would have came in His way of coming, would they have killed God? Because of the terror of it. I don't know if I can get this over to you. The absolute sheer terror of God was on the mount when He allowed them to come up with Moses to a certain point. And they got so scared just from the thunderings and lightnings that were going on and the things going around, they went back to camp. They were afraid. They were afraid that they might even get a glimpse of the Almighty, scare them so bad. They went down. They said, Moses, you can take care of this. Think about it. If God Himself was manifest in front of us, we'd probably die of fear. And God sent His Son in the form of flesh as a man, yet God was in Christ. It was the blood of God. And what did they do to Him? They crucified Him. You see, He did not send a form of terror in the flesh. If He had, they wouldn't have killed Him. But He sent His Son in the form of Adam. And in doing so, they said, we have no king but Caesar, crucify Him. And the fear was not there because of unbelief. Because they could have looked in the Scripture and saw who He was for what He did and how He came. It was assigned to them. Yet they didn't believe the book. So where does the lack of fear in the world come from? Not believing the book. I mean, you must have had some belief to get out in the weather today and open your Bible in this mess. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? Now, if God was in Christ in the flesh and He died, and yet that flesh arose and went up to the Father, who shall change our vile body that He may fashion it like unto His... What kind of body? Okay, what kind of body then did Christ have when He left the Mount of Olives? A glorious body. Okay? Now, we read in Thessalonians, those which have hope. And we're going to go back to Thessalonians. We're always going to catch another verse too. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to His saints. So there is something that happened where there was a manifestation made. There was a manifestation made known somewhere. From Acts 9 to 28, something was made known about Jesus Christ. Now watch this. To whom God would make known. That's manifestation, okay? Something that's made manifest is to be made known. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of what? Now, glory, let's say, is up there. It's the presence of God. Okay? Now, what have all sinned and come short of? Glory of God. So the glory of God is somewhere up there, and up there, being in the presence of God, something has to be done to get us there. You with me? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. How could this work good? A man died. A man suffered. A man was humiliated. A man suffered his life and lost it and left. Do you hear me? How could all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, right? Let's read again. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Alright, so God's got a purpose in mind. And this purpose is going to be made manifest, which you as a Gentile, me as a Gentile, could have hope. Now watch. 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to what? Now on earth, you're the image of who? Adam. You say, well, you're the image of Adam, who was the image of God, but the only problem with that image, it sinned. Are you awake? What did Adam do? So your image is tainted. Now the verse said, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of what? Are you familiar with what Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 says? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love? Well, let's read 29, 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also? Alright, so who loved God, the called. Right? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. All right, in verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He did called, them He also, which is Romans chapter 3, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Okay? Turn with me to Colossians. Chapter 1. Are you all right? See, folks, it means things. There was a purpose of an appearing. Now, Peter ain't going to tell you, as a Gentile, that you're called. He's not going to tell you by the appearing of the Lord that you're going to be changed and have your vile body fashioned like into His glorious body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us. Let's go back to 12. Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet. Meet. That means you're right. You've been formed and right. You're meet. You're able to be there with Him. Okay? You're meet. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints where? Can you tell me what blinded Paul? I never saw Peter blinded. I saw the Lord spending 40 days with him physically after resurrection. You hear me? Did he physically eat with them and drink with them and walk with them for 40 days before he ascended on the mount? And they were never blinded that way. Not by the light. Well, here it says to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, where? In light. The first saints of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12, who first trusted Christ, had an inheritance where? Light. Okay? 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. and hath translated. You see the word hath? Hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. How did he do that? In Christ. Where is Christ seated? In the light at the right hand of the Father. Alright? If you're in him, where are you? What kingdom are you in? That's what it says. In whom we have. Now that's telling you that if you're reading this, you're physical, you're still in that vile body, and yet he will never leave you here when it comes time to leave. In whom you have possession, redemption. That redemption is yours no matter what. Okay? In whom you have redemption. How? Through his blood, even you cannot be in that kingdom with sins. Now, what do they preach today? Confession of sins. Then they're denying you the truth of this appearing. Alright? 1 Thessalonians, one more time. Are you alright? I'm trying to just go slow with this. 1 Thessalonians, because I forget too, and I'm ignorant. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Isn't that always the question at the cemetery? Wonder where they went? I wonder if he's up there watching us. Looking over, taking care of us. I'm sure that while he's here, up there, he's watching his wife. And he might not want to, but... Okay? You know, wouldn't that be miserable? You love a woman all your life, you die. And you go up there and God lets you watch her marry another man. Hello? Did I miss you? I wouldn't think so. But if you were asleep, I don't think it'd matter, would you? And besides, in resurrection, either given or taken in marriage like the angels, it's an individual thing. We're here to help each other. Up there, it's an individual thing. I mean, I believe that. I believe every one of us in here possesses a soul, don't we? And didn't he die for your soul? Okay? But down here, you've got the pleasures of the flesh. And you know why men and women have pleasure? Because they're vile. Hey, the things that men and women do are vile in the sense of if you do it out of wedlock, it's vile. The marriage bed, that's why he said marriage is honorable and the marriage bed is undefiled. He doesn't see it that way in marriage. How does he see it out of marriage? Vile. Are you with me? So, I mean, I think about these things. I'll meditate on them. I say, God, please. I mean, I love my wife for all these years, and I'm going to go out there, and she's going to get remarried. I'm going to see it all. What, am I going to have to go to the wedding? Well, Solomon said, you know, I live all my life, I have all this, and when I go, another man gets it. Everything is vanity. Right? God does not care. God is not impressed with how good we are. Well, there is none good. He's not impressed with what we can do with this kingdom. Isn't it amazing how people think that we're advancing the kingdom? We're not doing anything for God. God has got a hand on all of it. He can take care of it, folks. We're walking through this life and we should give Him the glory, enjoy what we have, and what we do each day of our life, enjoy it because God gave us the right to do it. It's like Mark and I was talking about, God could care less about football. There is no need about getting angry about one team or another. God could care less. And it's like killing deer. I could care less anymore. I'll wait till the season's over and go buy it. Because a lot of people don't go pick it up. It's a lot easier. If you like to deer hunt, God don't care. If you don't like to go deer hunting, God don't care. If you like to ride in a car, God don't care. If you want to ride in a wagon, go ahead. God don't care. If you're afraid to turn on electricity, God don't care. If you can turn on electricity, God don't care. He don't. What he cares about is whether you're saved. That's what it's all about. God's will is for you to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And the knowledge of the truth is God don't care. He took care of it, folks, and he lets you live in a, what kind of body? A vile body. Why? Because this vile body, if you will give him the glory, is an earthen treasure with a light in it. I don't know if I'm making any sense or two. 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep, they're probably not going to give an account of what you've done since they've died. They wasn't watching. Another thing I think about is, what if you go out there and you're awake, but you haven't stood before the judgment seat of Christ, and you got to wait all this time awake, dreading the judgment of the reward. I do not believe God is that way. I believe God is a merciful God. And I believe He worked out everything to where it'll be right, whatever's done, because He is righteous. I believe when people stand before the great white throne for denying Him, when He casts them in the lake of fire, they'll understand why. I believe if we lose the reward, we'll understand why. I believe if we get that reward, we'll understand why. But I don't believe we'll be worried about who got what down here. How do we think? We think in seconds, minutes, hours, and days. I don't mean nothing to God. He allows us. Have you ever thought about the things you have, what God has allowed you to have, and how a lot of it you don't enjoy? Shame on us. You've got what you wanted in a lot of times, so enjoy it. And quit bitching about it and griping and moaning about it. I hate bad weather, but maybe we'll need it. It may dry up next 6 months. I don't know. But I'm vile. I'm chief of vileness, I guess you could say, as Paul said, he's chief of sinners. Now watch, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So do I have to worry about my beloveds that have died in the Lord? No, He'll bring them with Him. Okay? 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, what happened to them when they went to sleep? What did they lose? Their vile body. Now, their soul didn't die. Their spirit went to the Father. Their soul went to the Father because He bought them, and they agreed with that in that vile body. They agreed by simply saying, I'm crucified with Christ. That's what Paul said, wasn't it? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I have redemption in Him. I am forgiven, even the forgiveness of sins. And I'm waiting for the day of redemption because He will never forgive me. He will never forsake me. He has sealed me. He has assured me by His Word. I'm going. It don't get no better than that, folks. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. They rise first from what? What's the whole context? Sleep. How do I take it out of context? Where they rise from? Sleep. What's rising from sleep? What? the soul. What did they lose? One more time. Yay! 2 Corinthians 5. Hold on to this. What did the dead lose? What did the sleep lose? Okay. They lost it. Did they want it again? Okay. So where did they go? 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house, what kind of house is it? What kind of earthly house is it? It's vile. Of this tabernacle will dissolve. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal. Where? Okay, the dead Christ shall rise from the word rises, not go up and set up. They're sleeping. Remember, you don't want to watch your my wife Mary again. You're asleep in it. Yay. Read again. Where's it made at? Without? Where? In the heavens. Where's your body made? On earth. If you give it up, you know the old statement, give it up. You give up your body, what better be in you? What did you read in Colossians that the Gentiles had? Christ in you, the hope of... Where was glory? Well, I must have been done something wrong or you ate too much. Where was glory? What gives you hope of glory? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? When the Lord appeared to Paul, something happened scripturally. Let's read this and I'll go to it. Remind me, I want to go to 2 Timothy. Now watch this. 2 Corinthians 5:2. For in this we groan. And you'll find that groaning is in Romans 8:22, 23, 24, 25, in that area. We groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so being clothed, we shall not be found. Isn't it terrible to have a naked soul? Now, where would be the possibility of a naked soul? Death. If there is nobody waiting for your soul, what is it? Naked. It's naked. Now watch. If so being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, he didn't jump out of context. He's talking about our house. Right? Without a house, what is a soul? Naked. It's naked. Okay. And nothing to do with clothing as far as fabric. Okay? For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up alive. Now he that hath wrought us, and that's Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who also hath given unto us... Say it out loud with me. Now why do you need the earnest of the Spirit? What does the Spirit do for us in the book of Ephesians? It seals us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You with me? Okay. Verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home, where? We are absent. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body. Tell me what the verse said. If you're absent from the body, where are you? And that matches 1 Thessalonians. The dead in Christ are asleep. And it said the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know how much emphasis is put on the grave today? You go out and pray to your dead loved one, he ain't there. All that's laying there is dust. Hopefully it's dust by now. Somebody said, I love Elvis. I said, well, go dig him up and see how you like him. How about it? That's what. And see, they're taking that out of the context of Israel. Israel's bones will rise. That's why. Because they have an earthly kingdom. Where's your conversation? In heaven. You see, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The sleep, they were changed. They got a new body. We which are alive, we'll get a new body. How? He'll change our body. Go back to Philippians. Let's see if it means what it says. I've done this before, but there might be somebody in here who never heard it or whatever. Philippians chapter 3. Are you all right? Folks, this appearing that Paul talks about did something in 2 Timothy. Now watch, in Philippians chapter 3, the most scary thing of living is dying. That's the fear of every living human being. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our... that it may be fashioned that it... what it? What is it? That's got to be somebody alive. But if it's asleep, it's gone, it's changed. What did the dead in Christ, the sleep, leave? You buried it. So, they're either naked in death, and they have no hope, or they went to a body made without hands eternal into heaven, laying there in hope, because they got there. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and God will bring them with Him. Then we which are alive and remain will have our body changed and fashioned like unto His glorious body, and we'll be caught up in the air to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord. Are you with me? I get in trouble all the time for preaching this. You know why? People don't want to believe it. They want the graves to open up. The graves will only open up in Ezekiel 37. And that's Israel. It's the greatest peace in the world. But somebody said, well, I want to go up there and watch everything. Oh, you want to watch your wife remarry. You want to watch your kids get in trouble. You want to watch it. Don't you understand that sometimes death is greater than living? If you got hope, it ain't the end of it, it's the beginning of it. But it's where you don't see what's coming. I wouldn't go to I don't want to know what tomorrow brings, folks. That's fear. Now watch Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body that it, that body, may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to even subdue all things unto Himself. Let's see what that working is. Turn to 2 Timothy. And get 1 Corinthians 15. Are you all right? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 15. You better know I love the appearing of the Apostle Paul. And here's why. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us? That's Paul and Timothy. Has saved us and called us with an holy calling. The book says, press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? He said, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest, want to say it with me? By the appearing of Jesus Christ, who hath abolished. How did death get abolished? Turn to Philippians again. Chapter 3. Do you know why Paul was grateful to give up his religion? Because his religion had him waiting for the second coming, which he would have thought would have been the first coming, obviously the coming of the Lord. A Jew expected the Lord to come and go down the mount and destroy their enemies and set up the kingdom. That was what the belief of the Jew was. The only problem is he did come, and they killed him. And thus, by killing him, now all the Jewish people that are left will have to wait till a second coming. And to get to the second coming, they got to go through the tribulation. All right? Wouldn't they have been a lot better off trusting him when he came? Yes, they would have. Okay? That's why John never saw what he did until they had denied and killed him and he arose. Now watch, Philippians 3, verse 9. 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He may win Christ for people. That's what he's talking about. Not win them for Christ. And win his approval in the fact that he kept the faith. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of what? Let's see what the power of his resurrection is. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. The opposite of this verse means what it says. 1 Corinthians 15, 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. What's the opposite? If he's raised, what are you not in? 1 Corinthians 15, 55. O death, where is thy sting? You killed the Lord, didn't you? O grave, where is thy victory? You buried him, didn't you? But what's the third part of the gospel? Again, the third day. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Yea? And he's explained it in his writings, that if we go to sleep in the Lord, and we have Christ in us, it is the hope of glory. He says that he called and he has glorified us, when we are translated in the kingdom of his dear Son, then what appearing should I love? The appearing of the Apostle Paul, because he's the one who showed the mystery. Then if I love that appearing, what's waiting? A crown. A crown of glory. Everybody okay?